I ask you tonight if you will take your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew chapter number 6. To Matthew chapter number 6. In Matthew chapter number 6, I'm going to read the latter part of the chapter, starting down in verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Jesus is speaking part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto that day is the evil thereof." That is verses 25 through 34 of Matthew chapter number 6. Right. I must be honest with you this evening that always when Lord puts this passage or another similar to it on my heart, how I'm always a little hesitant about preaching it. And the reason is because I'm as guilty as anybody else when it comes to talking or thinking about worry. And I think we'd all be honest if we truly are tonight, that we all on occasion are a people that worry. But that is what Jesus is talking about in the text, and what I want to look at and think about in this passage of Scripture this evening. when we are stressed and when we are anxious about something in our life, usually some well-meaning person will say to us something like this. They'll say, well, just don't worry about it. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? And it's just not worry about what we are dealing with or thinking about in life. But that is what they often say. But it seems like that there are some people that spend a lot of time, extra time, worrying. They worry about their problems. And if they don't have something to worry about, they'll worry about your problems. They just seem to be worriers in this life. But Jesus is talking about worrying and that we ought not to be a people that worry. One of the reasons that we ought not to worry is that worry affects us mentally. Worry distracts our thinking. It'll disturb our rest. And worry will affect us in our relationships. And worry will affect our performance at work. It'll do all of those things in life. But worry will affect us not just mentally, but worry will affect us physically. They tell us that worry will cause ulcers, heart problems, headaches, panic attacks, and many other things that worry will do physically in life. But worry affects us spiritually because the Bible teaches that worry is a sin against the Lord. So we ought to be a people that realize the dangers of worry in life. The word worry comes from an old English word meaning to choke, to strangle. And that's exactly what worry does to you. It'll choke you. It'll strangle you in life. And I've come to understand that when Jesus talked about worry, that we're no different than what they were in that day. The things that he taught them are the same things that we need in today's society and in our own life and in our own heart. Jesus said three times in this text words that said this, take no thought. He says it in verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In verse 31, therefore take no thought saying. And then verse 34, he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. When Jesus said the words, take no thought, those words mean, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Jesus was saying that we don't need to worry. Now, when Jesus is saying that, he doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan for the future. He wasn't saying that you don't be concerned about making preparations for life and for the future of life. He wasn't saying Then it's wrong to have a savings account. He wasn't saying it's a sin to make investments for retirement. He wasn't saying it's wrong to do those things. But Jesus was saying, don't be overly anxious about the ordinary things of life. Don't be so anxious and hurried about life. Jesus, just before this, had been teaching about treasures. He was saying, don't lay up your treasures where a moth can get to it and rust can destroy it, or thieves could break through and steal it. But he said, lay up your treasures in heaven. In other words, he was saying, make heavenly things your focus. Don't focus everything on this life. Don't make this life your entire focus. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, this world isn't all there is. This world isn't what it's all about. But he says, think about where your treasure ought to be. And then he begins to think about where your trust ought to be. And that's what he is talking about in these verses. So I want to think for just a little bit, and I'm not going to take a long time, about what Jesus teaches about worry. What Jesus teaches about worry. Three things tonight, and I'll be done. First of all, Jesus says that worry is unnecessary because of our Father. That worry is unnecessary because of our Father. In these verses, Jesus is talking about how the Father takes care of His creation. He uses, first of all, in verse 26, about how He feeds His creatures. Look at it. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I can imagine Jesus, while he's there doing the Sermon on the Mount, I can just about imagine some birds flying by. And Jesus probably points them out and says, behold, the fowls of the air, how they don't gather into barns, how they don't reap and sow and gather into barns. But your heavenly Father takes care of them. He said, just think about how the Father takes care of His creatures. And He said, you are much better than they. The Father, if He takes care of those creatures, of the fowls of the air, how much more so will He take care of you? Do you realize tonight that no bird was created in the Father's image? No bird is a joint heir with Christ. And no bird has a place in the Father's house. You and I are more important to the Father than the birds of the air. So we should worry about anything, because if the Father is going to take care of His creation, of His creatures, how much more so is He going to take care of us? So we should worry. Are we going to have food to eat? Or is he going to take care of us and supply our needs? Sure he is. Sure he is. The Father is going to take care of us. In chapter 7 of Matthew, in verse 9, he says, "Well, what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" If a father who is even an evil father takes care of his children, how much more so will your heavenly Father take care of you? Oh, listen, we don't need to worry tonight, because our heavenly Father is going to take care of us. But then he says that he always arrays. He arrays the meadows in splendor. Look at verse 28 through 30. He begins to talk about it, considering the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And he said, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He said, don't take any thought or worry about whether you're going to have clothes to wear. The Father arrays the meadow when the grass of the field with splendor. Think about the lilies of the field, how God clothes them. And he said, Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like them. I can imagine Solomon and all the wealth that Solomon had, that he dressed in the finest fabrics of the day, and the gold that he had, that he decked himself out with. But God said, or Jesus said, the Father dresses the lilies of the field more beautiful than Solomon in all of his glory. And if the Father does that, how much more will he take care of you? People go to great lengths to dress up this whole body. I thought, as I was looking at this, people will spend $500 to put the most expensive Nike athletic shoes on their feet. They'll put a $3,000 Louis Vuitton dress on their body. Or they'll put a $5,000 Tom Ford Windsor shark tooth a suit on their body. They can deck themselves out. But I want to tell you, it ain't nothing like how God dresses his creation. You think about the beauty of a sunset. You think about the beauty right now as God colors the fall leaves. You think about how God dresses the flowers of the field. I want to tell you, if God does all of that, how much more will he take care of you and I? Oh, we don't need to worry about how God's going to take care of us. Hurry is unnecessary, because God's going to take care of us. He's going to provide our needs. He's going to supply all of those things that we have need of in life. He even went on to say in verse 27, he said, which if you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? He said, there's not a single one of you can, by thinking about it, can add anything to your length of days. You can't add time to your life. You can't extend your life by anything. God's the one that gives you life. God's the one that gives you the extent of your life. I want to tell you, God takes care of us. God gives us all that we have. So worry is unnecessary because of the greatness of our Father. So we shouldn't worry about those things tonight. But secondly, worry is uncharacteristic because of our faith. You see, faith and worry don't even go together. Don't even go together. Jesus said to them at the end of verse 30, "Oh, ye of little faith, when you and I worry about all of these things that we worry about," Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." You see, worry is uncharacteristic because of our faith. We are to be a people of faith, trusting God, trusting Him. Worry, as I say, and faith just don't go together. They don't go together. But worry happens when we are mastered by our circumstances. When we let our circumstances master us, then worry takes over. At the end of verse 25, Jesus says, "Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Jesus was telling them, He said, there are more things important than these things you're worrying about. There are more things vital than all these things you worry about. There's more to it. There's more to it than material things of life. I want to tell you, God has given us eternal things, eternal life. God has given us the riches of salvation. God has given us redemption. God's given us a home in heaven. You know, and we trust God for that. We trust God that He saved us from our sins. We trust God that He has forgiven us of all of our sins. We trust God that He is preparing us a home in heaven. We trust God that when we take our last breath, that we'll take the next one in glory. We trust God for that. But then we can't trust Him to get us through this life? That just don't seem right. That just don't seem to go together. That we can trust Him for eternal things, but we can't trust Him for material things. That just don't seem to go together. Oh, listen, worry happens when we're mastered by circumstances. Jesus says there's more to this than just this that you see, that you look on. There's eternal things that are important. Oh, listen today. We trust Him for those great things. Why can't we trust Him for the natural things, the material things of life? We worry, we stress over these things. But worry happens when we minimize the Scriptures. When we minimize the Scriptures, we say that we believe everything God says in the Word of God. But yet, whenever it comes to taking Him at His word about what He says about never leaving us and never forsaking us, whenever it says that He'll provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory, when the Bible tells us that He's going to go with us all the way, even to the end of the world, when the Bible says that, and then we worry whether He will or not, whether He'll supply our needs, whether He'll be there through all that we face. Then we minimize the scriptures when we worry about that. And I'm talking as much to myself. I preach those things. I preach them to you. And I believe them. But then at times, I worry about these ordinary things of life. And when I worry about them, I minimize the truths of the Word of God. When I worry about it, when sickness comes, I worry about those things, and I'm minimizing what I know to be truth. That's worry. That's minimizing the scriptures. But then worry happens when we misrepresent God's character. You see, worry strikes a blow at the very character of God, that He is trustworthy in all things. You say, preacher, I know He's trustworthy. I never say that. I never say it out loud that God isn't faithful and God isn't trustworthy. But sometimes when we worry, that's how we act. That's how we act, that God isn't faithful to us and God isn't trustworthy. I'm being honest with myself, because that's sometimes how I act when I worry. I say to you, I preach to you, yes, God's faithful. God will be there through everything. God will be there through sickness. God will be there through trial. But then I get in the midst of trouble and trial myself, and I worry, and it's like, God, are you really going to be here? I want to tell you, we do that. I do that. That's because we worry. Because we worry. I want to tell you, that's the problem that we have when we worry. We get into those things, and we don't have to. We shouldn't. We shouldn't, because yes, He is trustworthy. Yes, He is faithful. He will be there. He will go all the way. He will never let us down. You say, preacher, where do those worries come from? Where do those doubts enter our mind? The devil, he'll put those thoughts there. He'll run them through your mind. He'll make you wonder. He'll say, will God really be there? Do you think He's really going to help you this time? That's what the devil wants you to think. And that's how he wants you to look at it. Now he wants you to act and react. But then one last thing. Worry is unworthy of our thoughts because of our future. Worry is unworthy of our thoughts because of our future. Why is it unworthy of our thoughts? Because our future is in the hands of God. Our future's settled. Our future is settled. It isn't worth us spending anxious nights and worrisome days and wondering about what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next week and what's going to be the next day. It isn't worth us doing that, because it's all in the hands of God. It's all in His control. That's what Jesus said in verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Jesus said, don't lay awake worrying about tomorrow. Don't spend your anxious time worrying about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow is in the hands of God. It's in His control. I want to tell you tonight, the unknowns of tomorrow are known to Him. They're known to Him. He knows what tomorrow's going to be. I don't. So trust it in His hands and leave it in His hands. When we can, because of His promises, because of His promises. I have often said it, and you know it, that my favorite verses in the Bible is Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, where it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." The idea is that He has graciously promised His faithfulness for tomorrow. Tomorrow, I don't know if tomorrow comes for me. He has graciously promised He's going to be faithful for tomorrow. So we need to just trust it in His hands. He knows what tomorrow is going to be. He has a purpose for what's going to be in tomorrow. So we leave it with Him. Trust it with Him. Do we still worry? I'm guilty. I'm guilty at times. I still do. At times the enemy still comes along and he'll run things in my mind and he'll say, "Do you really think He's going to handle this?" And I find myself, gets myself worrying. I'm guilty, but I shouldn't. And I don't have to, because He's faithful. Because He's faithful. Because it is uncharacteristic because of our faith. Because worry is unnecessary because of our Father. We shouldn't worry because of who He is. We shouldn't worry because of His faithfulness. We shouldn't worry because of all those things. But I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Maybe you've got a grip on it. And maybe tonight you can say, "Preacher, I've got a handle on it. I don't worry." And I thank God if you have, but I plead guilty tonight. I find myself still, on occasions, I find myself worrying. And I shouldn't. But I do fall into that trap. And I do catch myself in that position. But I shouldn't have to. Because of who He is. And because of His greatness. And because of His faithfulness. And I thank God that He is faithful. There are those right now. I mentioned earlier about the upcoming election. There are those tonight that are worried. "Preacher, what if the election goes the wrong way? What if the wrong one goes in? What if the worst case scenario happens?" Can I tell you something tonight? On November the 4th, He'll still be God. On November the 4th, He'll still be faithful. On November the 4th, whoever wins and whatever happens, He'll still be on the throne. He'll still be God. And we just have to trust Him. We just have to trust Him. I still worry at times. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't." I shouldn't. And I say to you tonight, you shouldn't. But we on occasions do. So we need to trust Him. That's a challenge to you. Challenge to me. I told you when I started, I hesitate. Every time the Lord puts a message like this on my heart, I hesitate because I know I'm guilty. And I know it hits me hard because I'm guilty of worrying. And I know I have to deal with it. I prayed over and over and over before I stood here in this pulpit tonight, I prayed over and over and over. Today, yesterday, this week, saying, God, you're going to have to help me because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I hope it maybe was a challenge to your heart, encouragement to your heart, that God will help us all not to worry, but trust Him. Trust Him in these days. I appreciate you being here tonight. I hope it was a help. Hope it's a blessing. Let's pray for one another. Ask God to strengthen our hearts. Encourage our hearts in these days that we might honor Him. Something on the heart. I'm gonna leave it there. Just before we go, something on the heart. Let's stand to our feet.